Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the book of Jeremiah. We thank you for the anointing that's in your word. We thank you that we can hear your word and be changed by it. We thank you that your word is what causes us to be lifted up, and that we can ride on the wings of the Spirit into places that we could not go without your word. We thank you for bringing it into the earth. And now we ask you to bring it into our ears and into our spirits, that we may know you in a deeper, better, and more glorious way, and fulfill what you've called us to do in the earth in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Jeremiah chapter 29, and let's look at verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Say, to give me an expected end. So God's thinking thoughts concerning you, and his thoughts are in line with an expected end. What do you think the expected end of God is for you? The expected end of God is good things. It is to be wealthy. It is to be healthy. He says, I pray these things above all things for you. I pray that you would prosper, number one, and be in health, number two, even as your soul prospers. Amen. God wants you to prosper and be in health. So he has an expected end. Say, an expected end.
An expected end.
Say this, God expects me to prosper and be in health. Does God expect that for you?
Yes.
That's his expectation. You ever have an expectation for anything? You expect something, right? So when you plant a seed, what do you expect out of the seed? You expect the seed to sprout up and grow and produce a harvest. Is it so difficult for us to believe that God has an expected end? He has a plan and an expectation for the things that he sows into you. I think he's disappointed half the time, if not more than half the time. Because what he's expecting out of people, they don't produce. What if you had a crop of seed and you put it in the ground and it was somehow bad seed and it didn't produce? Would you be happy about it? No, you till that ground back up and do it again. God has an expected end. Well, not only does he have an expected end, he has and must have, if you can think here, he must have an expected way for you to get to that expected end. Wouldn't it be ridiculous for him to have an expected end and not have a way for you to get there? I was expecting the car to move, but I didn't put any gas in it. You gonna get mad at the car? No. I was expecting the crop to produce a lot, but it didn't. Did you plant it? No. So if God, that we would say that's stupid, right? So are we saying God's stupid? No. He must be doing the things that would produce the expected end. Are you here? And that's what I want to talk about a little bit today. But I said it is God's plan for every child of God to own their own business. And you can receive that or not. If you don't receive it, I feel bad for you. If you do receive it, guess what? You're stepping. Listen, you're stepping into the plan of Almighty God for you. Are you here? If you can hear that, you are stepping into the plan of Almighty God. If you're not hearing it, then I'm going to try to help you a little bit more today. But if you don't hear that, then you probably won't ever get into the plan of Almighty God for your life. You'll just keep spinning your wheels, and you won't be the head and not the tail. You'll be somewhere in between. Is there anything in between the head and the tail of something? Yeah, you got the guts and the fur. Right? And not that there's anything wrong with guts and fur. I'm not saying that. But if your desire is to be the head, you're going to have to listen and do the expected end. You're going to have to do the plan to get you. Listen to me this morning. You're going to have to do the plan that gets you to the expected end. If you don't do the plan that gets you to the expected end, don't blame God. You just didn't put your pants on. Right? We got a lot of Christians in the church without their pants on. Figuratively and otherwise. pants off equals trouble.
Yeah.
For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. So thoughts indicates and includes he has a plan, a mental plan, a plan, a devised way of thinking, right? Yeah. Ideas, concepts, thoughts of peace. The word peace, shalom, it means prosperity. It means peace in all areas of your life. It's translated prosperity in other places.
Yes.
Thoughts of prosperity. So he has plans. He's thinking about the plan. He's trying to plan a way. He's trying to devise a way. He has a thought, plan, and devised a way for you to be prosperous. Not of evil, to give you an expected end. What if you don't follow that plan? What if you don't follow that line of thinking? Say line of thinking.
Line of thinking.
I'm going to take you down a line of thinking this morning, and if you don't follow this line of thinking, you won't get to the expected end. There is a recognized way of getting wealth in Scripture that doesn't just rely on you sitting and waiting for a cow to bring you a bag of money. Can God bring you make a cow bring you a bag of money?
Mm-hmm.
Sure he can. Well, I would qualify that yes if you're doing other things and you got your mouth right.
Well, that's
right, but most likely that's not gonna happen. Well, God can make me win the lottery. God can make me win the lottery. God can make me win the lottery. See, I'm confessing it. God's gonna make me win the lottery. Yeah, okay, sure, but you may die without your pants on, die and, you know, by living in a box because you didn't do what God has already planned. He's devised a way, so you may die in that box before you ever win the lottery. There you are in the box, and here comes Ed McMahon with his big check. You can lay it on your grave. But that's not what the Bible says about you getting wealth. God giving you power to get wealth. He did not say he's going to give you the power to get to pick the correct lottery numbers. God has more to say about what you would do with that $20. I see people do this all the time. I'm just dumbfounded by it. Especially when I'm in a hurry to get somewhere and the guy in front of me and I'm just getting some gas and they're like, I'll have the number 3 and 2 of those and one of the high roller one and this and that. And they're like 60, 70 bucks. They're dropping it down there. I'm like, I want to kick him in the back of the net. First, so I can get out of there quicker. But what are they thinking? If they'd have taken that 60, 70 bucks and did what God said to do with it, they would be on the expected end trail.
Hallelujah.
You get it? There is a recognized way of getting wealth in Scripture. God's plan for every child of God is wealth. We've got to get over that first, you understand? God's plan, say this, God's plan,
God's plan.
For every
child of God
is wealth. That's me. Say, that's me.
That's me.
What's God's plan for you? Wealth. He has an expected end. That's the expected end. He has a way to get you there. He has a scriptural, recognized way within scripture.
That's right.
To get you there if you do it. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. Let's read verse 10 first. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Is that good?
Yeah.
Sure. Verse 11, not slothful in business. Mm-hmm. Say in business.
In business.
Is this in your Bible?
Yes.
It's right next to walk in brotherly love. Is that a commandment in the Bible? So we're going to take that one commandment out of the Bible. We've got to walk in love, got to walk in love, got to walk in love. And we're going to forget all the other things around it? I think not. Put your pants on. Put this next verse of scripture on. Not slothful in what?
Business.
That I'm going to be serving the Lord. Is it possible to serve the Lord in business?
Yes.
Only if you're going to read your Bible and do it. Only if you're going to get to the expected end by doing what God tells you to do. He has an expected end for you. But you have to be not slothful in business. Whose business? Your business. But every child of God should own their own business. 1 Thessalonians 4:11 says, learn, be quiet and learn to do your own business. Learn, say learn.
Learn.
To do.
My own business.
Well, what if I don't know how to do business? What if I don't want to be in business? Then you've got some learning to do. Right? Oh, but God is supposed to just give us all things. We're wisdom and stuff, and then I don't have to do anything because the grace of God takes over. You're going to be one of those guys in the middle, between the head and not the tail, because you're not taking up the word of the Lord that's coming you today, that says that God has a plan for you, an expected end, and the way to get to that expected end is to be in your own business, the head and not the tail, boss of your own domain, like God gave Adam. Engaging in business is part of your calling. Engaging in business is part of your calling. What? Yeah, no, maybe I'm just supposed to preach. I don't care if you are a preacher, then you've got business to do. Part of preaching is business. Well, people don't like that or not, but if you can't maintain and run your own business in the ministry, well, you're not going to be that successful. It's a business. Big worldwide ministry is what? A business. That's how they stay online. That's how they stay on TV on a daily basis. It takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Say a lot of money.
Well,
God needs a lot of money in the ministry to get his message around the globe. It takes money to buy satellite time, airtime, all of these things, to build buildings, right?
Yep.
All of those things are about business. And most of that should come from 10%. Imagine the amount of money that God wants to put into business, when God wants to put into his ministry. That's just 10% of the amount of money you are supposed to own and control and be Lord over. Do you get that? All of the things that God wants to do in the earth is only 10%.
Amen.
Say 10%.
10%.
The other 90% is yours.
Hallelujah.
What does that make you? You must be really wealthy. If God wants to cover the earth with his glory, and the silver is his and the gold is his, what about you?
Wow.
To engage in business is part of your calling. Wouldn't it have to be? If 10% is what God requires and he's going to cover the earth with the gospel and the amount of money it takes, then all of his children should be heads of their own business, bosses to own their own business. I'm putting it out there. Like I said, people can either receive it or not. God's expected end for you is wealth, but he has an expected way to do it. He has a plan. Listen, to engage in business is part of your calling. Doing business like seed time and harvest is a law built into the earth. This has been going on from the beginning of time. What do you think Adam did with his excess crops? How many apples can you eat? He's a moron. He just let them all fall to the ground. No, he multiplied it. He was in charge of that garden. He was the first entrepreneur. He took what God gave him and he multiplied it. I'm going to take you to some scriptures, but you know I'm saying the truth right now. He that has little will be made rule. When he's faithful over the little, what happens? It multiplies.
Yeah.
It's a principle like seed time and harvest. To give, and it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. You know, we try to separate these things from the Bible, and we can't, because God has built these principles like seed time and harvest.
Yes.
Business principles like seed time and harvest are hardwired into the earth.
Yes.
Part of that, it's built into the earth. You work with it or against it, to your own benefit or failure. If you learn to do business, you are lining yourself up with God's plan for an expected end. I've showed you, you need to mind your own business. Well, that means I got a lot of learning to do. Yes, that's what I'm telling you. Get learning. Get on to learning. And I'm not just saying just school book type learning. I'm saying learn how to go with the Spirit of God, because he has a powerful way, and I'm going to get into this a little bit later, but there's an anointing to do business that takes you just beyond book learning and principles and concepts, because people can, in the natural, do principles and concepts that come directly out of this Bible and have a successful business. But if you're doing those and you have the anointing on you, then watch out. Joseph was not only wise in the way he treated things, but he was anointed to do it. But the problem is, you know, we get into church and we only expect the preacher to talk about the anointing side. I'm anointed. Well, if you don't have the bit, if you don't have the scriptural side to that, the foundation building up to it, then the anointing will crumble. It has no foundation, right? Not slothful in business. We are all called to business. We are all called. Every child of God is called to own their own business. Now listen, I have some things that I can say to you. I can help you there, because I do function in anointing at times, and I see beyond where I am, and I can help you. Sometimes the best place to learn a business, just in the natural, is to be in somebody else's business. You mean be up in somebody else's business? No, to be in the business. It's a known fact. If you want to start a restaurant, you don't just go and start a restaurant. Guess what's waiting for you? Failure and a lot of debt. But if you wanted to start a restaurant, you felt led to be going in that direction, you go work for somebody else. And you work for them for 10 years. 10 years, they can't be God. You are a baby and lazy. You go work for them. But listen, there's an expected end. You may be working for somebody else right now, but that's your learning. You're studying to be quiet and learning to do your own business. Yeah, but I'm working for somebody else. Yeah, while you're there, you're learning to do your own business. That's one recognized way. It's hardwired into the earth. They used to call it apprenticeship, didn't they? As people would apprentice under somebody else, they'd learn it, and they knew that that guy, when eventually he's going to go out and... But in the construction world, that happens all the time. You train somebody too well, and what happens? They go and start a business. Now, you got a competitor there. Isn't that right? It's hardwired into the earth. You can't get away from it. So you better learn to deal with it to your own benefit or your own demise. Are you here? You know, I'm anointed to say this today. Can you be anointed to say natural things? Yeah. The other way to do it is to just start. Don't be afraid of failure. One way is to start with somebody else, to work for somebody else until you learn that business. Another way is to start and maybe fail. Take the risk, step out in there, and guess what happens if you fail? You have to start again. Start something else, and eventually you'll learn how to do it. Many of the best entrepreneurs in the world, they'll tell you that. You know, oh, you're such a success. Yeah, now, but I blew 10 businesses. You would hope, after failing, say failing.
Failing.
Failing is part of learning. Being a failure, I failed, I'm a failure. No, you're not a failure. What you learned something out of that failure. Is this right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Part of it is starting your own business. Does it have to be the business that God has called you to? That great, glorious business that's worldwide, where you own your own aircraft and you land on your own buildings with your own helicopter. Does it have to be that business? No. But you got to start where you're at. A moving car is easier to turn than one that's stationary. So you start where you're at. Say start.
Start.
Where I'm at.
Where I'm at.
You can do that while working a job for somebody else. All this stuff sounds like effort. It's what's required of you to get to the expected end. To engage in business is part of your calling. It's part of everybody's calling. I'm going to say something here. It's 90% of your calling. And I told you a little bit about, you know, in the book of Acts, where Paul, when he went into Corinth, he went into Corinth as a what? Businessman. He went into Corinth as a businessman. He found business connections, and he started making what they call tent making. But that was his business. And through doing that, through doing his business, he entered into Corinth and the call on his life.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Some of you will never enter into the real call on your life until you get the business side straight. Doing business like seed time and harvest is a law built into the earth. You work with it or against it to your own benefit or failure. Those who learn to buy and sell effectively open a door for God to multiply riches in your hands. Think about it. He was a businessman. Yeah. And if you're not a businessman and you're not with your eye on buying and selling, knowing that that's the way God's going to get $1 million to you, then you're going to miss it because you're still waiting for the golden cow with a golden bag full of golden coins. And your pants are still down. Who, what kind of people are aware of business opportunities? Business people. People that are good at buying and selling things. You can start low. You're supposed to start low. And then what are you supposed to sell at? High. You buy low, sell high. All business. Listen to me. I'm going to help you. I'm going to define business in a section here, in a second here. But all business is a matter of buying low and selling high. Paul bought raw materials and made tents out of them. We'll go with that. He bought the materials at a lower price than what it cost him to put his effort into it and sell it. He sold it for a high price. He was doing business. Through his doing business, it opened doors of ministry to him. Are you here? Every child of God should own their own business, and in doing business is part of your calling. And if you don't do this part of your calling, God can't get you to the expected end. I hope you heard that. Well, I thought they were separate. They're not separate. It's part of the calling. That's why he listed it here with those other vocations. Have you ever heard of that? Vocation. What is another word for vocation? Calling. Look it up in the dictionary. Business. Your vocation. It's a calling. It's business. Let's go right into that. Those who learn to buy and sell effectively open a door for God to multiply riches into your hands. Is this right? We're going to get into what God said, occupy till I come. What did he say to those people when he gave them the talents and he came back? He said, occupy till I come. What did occupy mean? Well, he describes it later when he says, I want to see how much they made by trading. They've got the talents and they're trying to sell them for more. They bought low, sold high, over and over and over and over. But so many times, Jane, we don't even know what we're looking for. And if we're thinking that it's got to come some other way and God's trying to give you the business idea and the business acumen to do what you need to do, but you won't put your foot through that door, you won't start it, then where are you going to be? Somewhere in the middle. God's trying to get you to the head and not the tail. You get that? Those who learn to buy and sell effectively open a door for God to multiply riches in your hands. Do you see that? But see, people, when even me, I have to catch myself, because sometimes I'll think, well, business, that seems a little sketchy. It seems like God couldn't be involved in that. God is involved in that. That is God's plan for all of his children. It's 90% of his plan for all of his children. You know, and I'm just thinking here, even ministry, you know, this part of the ministry, everybody looks up, oh, I want to play the guitar and sing a song. That takes maybe what, 3 minutes? What kind of time did it take to get ready to play the song? What kind of equipment did it take to get there? 90% of ministry is business. 10% is the ministry part that everybody sees. It's the same way. And that's a minister. That's somebody who's in the music ministry. Same thing with preaching. You only see this hour and a half that I'm up here yelling at you. Like, oh, no. Right? But you don't see. It's more than 90% many times. Mm-hmm. The preparation that went into this. It doesn't just happen in 10 minutes. It's funny because a lot of times my sermon will come to me in 10 minutes, but that wasn't the preparation that got me there. It was the praying in tongues. It was the studying the word. It was feeding on things throughout the week. You getting anything out of this today?
Amen.
See, you know, we can preach prosperity till we're blue in the face. But if we don't show people how to put their foot into the stream that's going to take them to the prosperity, then we're never going to get there, because we're trying to leave it in this esoteric world of God just wanting you to be wealthy. Well, God's got a way for you to be wealthy, and most of the time, predominantly, it's by being a business person. Say this, I am a business
person.
And frankly, it's your number one calling. And people don't want to hear that. It's the same thing with it's why I don't have a problem putting it on the website that's what I do. I'm a businessman and I'm a preacher. Why is it? Because the word specifically says that we're called to do business, and that's how we serve the Lord. Paul, when he went into Corinth, was a businessman. Do you think that's how he went in there? He went into, you know, the little section of town where they were doing business and stuff. He came and said, I'm a preacher. Everybody stop your work and listen to me preach at you for an hour and a half. Is that what he said? No, he says, I'm in the business. I'm a businessman. I'm looking for some materials. We're talking about Paul the Apostle, and this wasn't on the first two stops of his ministry. This was well into his ministry, and he's in business. Luke chapter 19. Verse 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. Say, occupy.
Occupy.
Till he comes, right? But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned. Now, did this man, when he left, did he have an expected end? Was he expecting something? Yes. Verse 15, and it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money. Say, given the money.
Given the money.
Given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Money. How much you gain by trading, that's a business. If you're not gaining money by trading, it doesn't fit the definition of business. It might fit the definition of a pastime and a hobby. God doesn't want you highly developed in hobbies. There's no verse of scripture that says, hobby thou on, saith the Lord. In your hobby horse. Now, if you're going to sell hobby horses and do it for a profit, then God's got a hand. You can get in there. He can help you. He wants his expected end is for you to be prosperous. Are you seeing any of this?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's God's method. It's God's way, just like seed time and harvest. To whom he had given money that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Is it important to know the state of how much you have gained by trading? What is that? It's business. This is the Bible's definition of business. Gained by trading, right? You can trade widgets, you can trade houses, you can trade all kinds of things. And the ones who are better at it have more money. Is this too difficult to understand? So we've got to get better at it. Because we all want to say, yes, the Lord blessed me financially. But that person that says that most likely has been involved in some type of business,
yeah.
Right? And if not that person, then the people that were before him, he might have inherited it. You look at the wealthiest people in the world, and most of them are entrepreneurs. The other ones inherited their money from entrepreneurs. Why is that?
Because the Lord blessed them.
No, because they were blessed in their pursuit of business, buying low, selling high, trading. Are you here? Well, trading, that sounds evil. That's evil lucre. That's the problem. It's not evil. It's your calling. It's 90% of your calling. And the 10% goes where? To God. And then he's your business partner. What'd you think about? I'm going to go into business with you, and I need 10%, or that's the deal. I'm going to help you out in every way I can, and I get 10%, and you get 90%, but you don't want to be in business. You don't want to do it. So, how about the Jews? Are they known to be what? Wise business people? It's one of the things that people, well, the Jews, they seem to have a lot of money, and they're wise business people. Why is that? Where'd they get that from? It's hardwired into them from God and his word. They know how to buy low and sell high. Yeah. And they believe that God's in the midst of that, yeah, buying low and selling high. And when I buy low and I sell high and that money comes in off the top and I've got a, what they call a profit, yep, right? And I go, thank you, God, for this profit, and I give him 10% of that profit. That's God involved. Yes. And you, they believe God's involved in that. And we as Christians, no, that's evil. No, it's not. Profit comes from God. Amen. And it's a blessing. Are you here?
Yes.
Here's the IRS's definition of business. We saw God's definition of business, which was what? To see how much every man had gained by trading. Yes. And then what did he do? He put those people over responsibility over his 10 cities in the new kingdom. Who? The ones who had learned to do business.
That's right.
Are you telling me if I learn how to do business and I become very successful and I'm partnering up with God and he's teaching me and training me and I become stupidly rich, that not only pleases him, but it also puts me into a position where he can put me over cities and kingdoms in the new kingdom? I can just read these red letters and it says that. Do you think that somebody who's rejected prosperity, rejected money, and just chooses to live their humble life in a cape with one of those, you know, rope belts and lives in a box and just loves people, do you think God's gonna put that guy over a city? He wouldn't know what to do with it. They would all end up like him, living in boxes. You could call it box town, but they'd love each other. No, they wouldn't. They'd hate each other because they'd all be pulling their hair out and dying of filth. Heaven's not like that. Heaven's full of prosperity. Does it require more effort and more wisdom to manage large amounts of money than it does small amounts of money? Yes. It gets easier, but it requires more time and effort. They get better at it. They've learned their lesson. They've learned what not to do and what to do. So not only does God just want you to be over your own business, why don't you have 12 businesses? 13 businesses? Because what happens, and I hope you listen to me now, it gets from the place of you working for your own self, which is really all you've done is created a job for yourself. Self-employment is just creating a job. It's not really a business. You just created a job. But when you learn how to manage business the way God wants you to manage it, those business begin to pay you. They work for you. You're no longer serving money. The money is serving you. And that's where we have to get, right? So that the money is serving us. The IRS definition of business. The term trade or business generally includes any activity. Say activity. Activity carried on for the production of income from selling goods or performing services. Activity to get blessing, activity to get money, activity. Say activity.
Activity.
God blesses you in the activity to get wealth. Action or transaction with a profit motive. That must be evil. See, now in the church we have, that must be evil. If I go to buy a car with the intent of selling it for more than I bought it for, that's just an evil motive, isn't it? No, it's a godly motive. It's part of your calling. See why this is so difficult? You buy a house, you want to sell it for more than you bought it for, so that the profit comes to you, and that's one way God's going to get money to you. And you think it's evil. No wonder we've hindered ourselves so much. The Jews don't think it's evil. They think that's God blessing you. And you do it in love because you're providing something that somebody wants and they want to pay for it. Seest thou a man diligent and skillful in his business, his own business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men. That word mean is a little obscure. It actually means that. Obscure. And the word before doesn't mean you're just going to stand before kings. It means you're going to stand equal with kings. The word before in the Bible many times means face to face, on the same level. Someone who's diligent and skillful in their own business will stand on an equal level with kings in the earth. That's the head and not the tail, Bubba. Is that in your Bible? Is that in the book of Proverbs? Is there an anointing in this word just like there's an anointing in other words? Is there an anointing in the word that says that you are to be diligent and skillful in your own business? There is an anointing to do business. Just by the sheer fact that this scripture exists, and we know that scriptures have an anointing in them and came by the anointing. Are you following me at all? Then there's an anointing to do business. Anointing to do business, what is business? I already defined business. Buying low, selling high. Trading, making money by buying and selling. Is this your calling? Yes, it is your calling. It's every child of God's calling to own their own business. There is an anointing to do business. Know that this is God's will for you. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, to get this across today. This is God's will for you. He may have ministry for you. He does have ministry for you. But this is his number one plan. His will for you is to be successful, a successful businessman or successful businesswoman. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Fear ye not. What remains among us? Spirit. His spirit. Jesus went and is at the right hand of the Father. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven. Who's remaining with us? The Holy Ghost. So my spirit remains among you. For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Which one is he going to fill? The house that the Holy Ghost is in. There's an anointing to get wealth. There's an anointing to do business. Now listen to me. I hope I can cross this line. It's what I was trying to do today. How many of you would acknowledge that there's an anointing to get wealth? Yep. But the anointing to get wealth most of the time isn't an anointing to do business. Right? So the anointing to get wealth isn't this esoteric thing that just floats around. I'm anointed to get wealth. I'm anointed to get wealth. It's an anointing to do a specific thing, which is to do business. Buy low, sell high. Trade, produce things. Wouldn't an anointing to get wealth be an anointing to make money? God wants every child of God to be millionaires. So my spirit remains among you, fear ye not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 8, the silver is mine, the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former. We're the latter house. The former house was Solomon. Was God, the Holy Ghost, involved in Solomon? Yes. We just read that verse of scripture, see a man diligent and skillful in his business. That came out of Solomon's mouth through his pen or quill or whatever it was. Right? The glory of this latter house is going to be greater. So is it going to come in some other way? No, it's still going to come in this anointing to do business. I hope you heard that. The glory of this latter house will come in an anointing that will help people do business and prosper them. And the glory will be greater than the former house. Father, thank you for this message. In Jesus' name we receive it. We commit to be the people that you've called us to be. We thank you for it. Say this after me. Father, in Jesus' name, I commit to be a business person. In the earth, and look forward, and expect your blessing on my hands, making me the head and not the tail. And together we will take over and fill this earth with your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.